Unfortunately, it's 1.8 million. Yeah, well, speaking of which, you know, this is one of those proposals you've asked us to take a look at strategic action planning process for this coming budget year. So it's about a recreation center, and this company is actually, that's their expertise, is taking a look at what are some of the options and evaluating the master plan. Carl's going to give you some details.
So, just to give you a little history, you know, how this came about, this Parks master plan is an update that's presented to the council. And part of that updating the master plan, it identified scholarship is spent for a number of different activities, including public services, but it's limited to 15% of the grant, economic development activities, infrastructure improvements, but again, it needs to be in a qualifying area for low-income census tract. And the overall planning, administration, and monitoring of the program, CDBG dollars for that activity, but again, limited to 20% of the allocation. Within the city, CDBG has funded infrastructure projects, namely the Seminole Woods neighborhood multi-use path. Since that is a qualifying area, we provide financial assistance for low-moderate income households for home repair, and the other dollars have been used for recreational programs to assist youth, namely summer camps, swim lessons, and of course, some dollars have been spent for administration and monitoring. So, as we find out the process this year, we held a Citizens Advisory Task Force meeting on June 7th. The CATF, Citizens Advisory Task Force, is the advisory committee to the City Council regarding the use of CDBG dollars. At that meeting, the CATF did recommend that we continue with the ongoing activities. And by going with ongoing activities, we can then complete the Seminole Woods neighborhood multi-use path. Continue the homeowner repair assistance program, continue youth activities, some mechanical lessons, provide some public service grants, and a new activity, senior activities, which will be administered by our Recreation and Parks Department. Part of that towards our senior residents, and those activities could run the range from the simple meal program to wellness program or educational program. So for fiscal year 2018, the allocation still up at the bottom there, but it's $506,673. And as recommended by the CATF, the housing program is to receive the bulk of the funding. It's about $250,673. The infrastructure portion of our activities, the Seminole Woods neighborhood multi-use path, will receive $175,000. $76,000, which is 15% of the allocation, which is the max that we can allocate to public service, will be dedicated to any number of the three activities listed there: youth services, senior services, and grants. And finally, a small portion will be for family administration and monitoring. And those dollars are typically used for. We need to run an ad in the paper. We also help sponsor the fair housing fair every year. It's in coordination with the Board of Realtors and Flagler County and other housing providers. So a small amount of that will go towards that activity.
Do you see any variance in the 90% allocation between the categories?
Well, the maximums are set by federal law, so that's why
it's funding. Maybe it was the last 20% allocation for planning and monitoring, and 50% for that.
Yes, that's federal government.
But you know, if we don't use your cost of 20%.
We're now entering into, we're completing, there's two phases left. One phase is under construction right now. That's to be done next month. And so the last phase, which is about a mile and a half, will hopefully start right after that, and that would be the completion of at least for the season.
So next year we have 175.
If we complete, and hopefully that the estimates come in where they should be, we should have the funding available to complete that project.
So next year we still are anticipating another 175, or is this the last time?
Well, hopefully this will be the last time. What we have
grant program. And we've struggled with finding a grant team for to assist us with that.
Is that a line item for this program? If we can't find it, obviously there's no point in applying some perspective on it. We decide we can put the money to better use in one of the other either need services or standard services. Is that possible within the same budget year?
Yes, absolutely.
But only that next year if we decide we don't have an appropriate program.
Yes, sir. Either next year or if in the middle of the year we decide to do an amendment to our annual action plan, we can shift those out.
It's
just certain criteria that the federal government requires to monitor
the whole program is so carefully monitored and structured. Any other questions?
So just wrap up for the next steps, as required by federal law, the document was available on our website and in hard copy form here at City Hall and in our community center for public comment. I think as of in that public comment period ended July 8th, and we didn't receive any public comments on the plan. And we are at a public workshop today. Next Tuesday, we'll schedule this for public hearing as advertised, and that gives us plenty of time to make any last minute adjustments to submit to us by the August 15th deadline.
This may be one of the ego areas, but I'm wondering is how the home repair portion of this works, how people apply to that.
Yes, sir. So there is a qualification that all participants complete, but the process really is that it's a first come, first completed application. We don't set aside or create a waiting list where there's a lot of issues that can stem from that. But we'll make a public announcement. There will be an applicant workshop. Anyone interested in the program will attend. One of our other planners will usually lead that workshop and go through the process of how to get qualified and what the requirements are in order to qualify for the program. And then once that happens again, first complete an application is how we allocate the dollars.
Is there somewhere in how you would move to see what qualifies as a home repair?
We have our local housing assistance plan, which is on our website. That really outlines the program itself, as in what the income limits are and some of the back-end requirements of the program, such as having a lien on your house so that you don't sell it with it. Or if you do sell it, there's a recovery clause for the program to get its money back. So those are available to that program.
This program is the state college that the city is eligible to receive directly, or we can partner with the county. 10-12 years ago, when we first became eligible for these funds, it was decided it was best not to separate county funds and city funds and just keep it all under private county program. So but with that, we have a relationship with Flagler County. They've been doing this for a number of years, and it's really a lot more efficient to have it under one program. And the agreement between Palm Coast and Flagler County, though, is that this both city council and Flagler County. So that is what's being proposed right now. As they can introduce our guest from Flagler County, because he's the expert and can answer any questions.
Sure. My left is Mr. Lawson, community, and he is the administrator of Flagler County. He's also the city council for SHIP, or State Housing Initiatives Partnership Program. Similar to CDBG, those dollars are for, well, in SHIP's case, it's $3 and it's strictly for housing activities. And the amendments we have before you are just some cleanup items. Well, maybe I'll let you know some of this.
And so these amendments are basically recommendations from the Affordable Housing Advisory Committee, which is a citizen advisory group appointed by the Flagler County Commission, and also recommendations from the Florida Housing Finance Corporation. And so really they
vehicle waiting for someone to come out from the south in order to issue a traffic citation. So what we are proposing here are amendments to your code to allow, not for the issuance of what already is allowed, which is a traffic citation, this can be a civil citation, which is like a parking ticket. You know, and we have different regulations on the books right now for such parking tickets. But this was not on the books. This was something that will be added, and it specifically follows the language that's in the Florida statutes. It's the same comparable language that was used for the violations for issuance of traffic citation. But here, the sheriff's deputies will be able to issue a civil citation. And that now is specifically spelled out in our code if this ordinance is adopted. And we'll provide for a method specifically of a fine, a uniform fine, which is the maximum amount allowed under state law, which is $250. So this ordinance clarifies that as well, not just sets the violation, but sets the consequence for the violation, which is the fine. And that $250 is not made up. That is the maximum fine allowed under the state statute. So that is the main purpose of this, is to give the sheriff to respond to the concerns that are expressed by the sheriff, so the sheriff can have another tool which may be a more efficient tool to try to deal with the problems that were brought to this council previously by the advocates for the handicapped.
What
was
the responsibility of all being brought upon to change the signs that are already out there that don't meet this ordinance?
Well, most of the signs do meet the ordinance. If this passes, and that is that a lot of the signs say minimum fine $100 or maximum fine $250. Of course, then those would arguably be compliant. To the extent that there are signs that will be inconsistent, those will be changed through the building department. I really don't want to speak to that. I think we have some folks that may be able to add to that, but that is not the purpose of this ordinance.
But the signage is really the responsibility of the owner of the parking lot.
So if it was at a shopping area, it would be up to them, and they would be notified if they had changes because it doesn't meet the ordinance.
Correct.
Have you communicated back to the advocates
for
anything yet that we're in the process of that, or just the dairy communication?
I actually was in contact with the person who was forward, and I told her I would let her know that it was going to be a meeting, so she actually wanted to be here.
That's what can happen here. The sheriff said that because this specific violation was not identified in our code, the only avenue that was available for the sheriff was issuing a traffic citation, which is if you're speeding and they pull you over, they have to give it to you personally. Same thing for violation of the state statutes. They have to hand it to you personally. And because most of these violations are at the car, or at least when they see it, and they determine that it's a violation, and then someone, if they're in Publix and they're shopping for a week, then they could be in Publix for an hour and a half, and they just the deputies. And I'm not on the speech list here, but I'm extrapolating from what the sheriff's letter said.
The other issue was that if they weren't consistent, somebody said $200, somebody said $250, $100, and when somebody was issued a ticket and they went to court on it, sometimes it would be disputed because it wasn't consistent. So this way it would be consistent.
Thank you.
an annual process. These are properties where the city has had to hire somebody to go in and maintain the property. We then place it on their tax bill. So there's this formal public process we have to go through. This is the initial stage. And people between now and the final assessment pay the cost and reimburse the city, and then it comes off. If not, it can be added to their property bill this fall.
I want to add that this is, I can't tell you how important a tool this is for the city of Montrose and its code enforcement department as far as helping neighborhoods deal with ongoing problems. It allows, I don't want to call it cell phone, but it's a more direct, more efficient tool to deal with problems that neighborhoods are having, ongoing problems, long-term problems. And it also is beneficial to the taxpayer, because at the end of the day, these amounts are going to be reimbursed through payment of property taxes by the property owner that necessitated the work and the expense associated with it. Those are spelled out, yes, sir. Those are spelled out in Chapter 35 of your Code of Ordinances. It's called the Nuisance Abatement Program, and they are identified specifically.
This is one of our priorities in our utility area. You know, with the new plant, it is now important to divert the sewer to the new plant away from plant number one. Our priorities are set on the areas where we find capacity issues with our pump station, where we see the tanker trucks, so we hear about the overflows of the heavy rain. So this one here in the final W section, as long as it's been identified, if we can divert this area to the new plant, that will help our whole collection system. This is the design for that with CPH, over $385,000. We will design this program and then come back to you with construction plans here in a few
roughly about $200 a foot program of work, $200 to $300 a foot.
Gotcha.
Which the one that we chose was that is actually in that ballpark.
Makes sense.
Right.
But,
thank you.
But you're also seeing, and we're seeing this with contractors are not hungry right now,
mm-hmm.
and so they will come in with high numbers.
And I can't imagine Seawall's easy work.
Yeah. So if they can get it, great. Otherwise, find somebody with more
competition. Most Seawall contractors in the city are the responsibility of the homeowner if they're on a homeowner. But so what percentage of our Seawall is city property?
Very small percentage. And once again, it's usually at the end of the canals. Where you know you'll have a street, and it's along the street that's really the city's. If it's in the backyard of the residents, then that's a private wall. So the percentage is very small.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Discussion. If not, we'll move on to the second public participation section of our agenda. Any member of the public that wishes to address the council on any matter, please come forward. Fire assessment.
No. I do speak on other things. I'd like to thank you, though, for what you said, Mr. Cuff, regarding the fire assessment. It took a little time and effort, and as I said, in just a layman. But I want to address what the comment that you did make about you haven't heard anybody in the council say about a electric or water utility tax, but it has been reported by two local medias that you were considering that, and they were quite emphatic about it, and that's what sets this whole ball in motion. And my comment is, I think when you see this, I mean, I've heard the mayor and vice mayor say things such as, we have to educate the public. Let me give you an example. If you read some of the comments, which are disgraceful, they say, well, cut the salaries of the council. Well, that would give them a grand total of about $6,000. You don't go too far on that. But it might behoove the council to, when you see these things, to offer the public a rebuttal. And that's my comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Brook. Any other member of the public?
Good morning, everybody. Mr. Neil about Park Section. Just want to know if any further discussions have been made by the city officials and the county on that impact fee issue that's been discussed on and off now for a month or so on the airport property.
Thank you. Any other member of the public wish to address the meeting? Just seeing none, I'll close the public participation. You know, on the first comment, I think we need to do everything we can
So the developer representatives and city staff and county staff have been on the actual development plan, landscaping, architectural stuff, the things that we always do. We talk about impact fees and working through those details for whether it's water, sewer, transportation, and how they're going to be used. Because, you know, city development, if they build something that is larger than is needed for theirs, and they get the credit for that additional capacity that is for the next development downstream. anybody that's seen it they run it back, so back of hogs can do it in the yard. It basically destroys it overnight. Very, very destructive. And the real solution is just getting rid of